Hello. Hello, hello. Now I'm a Bobby on the beat. You can tell by my pointed hat and the size of my flat feet as I walk around the street. Hello, Mr. Burglar. What's all this ear you've got in this bag? Ear? Is it a few things you've knocked off? Oh, it's pamphlets containing hate speech, you say. Well, much as I think that the idea of hate speech is ridiculous and people, you know, ought to be able to just have civilised discussions and not go running to the police like schoolboys, unfortunately, under the Public Hoarder Act of 1986, I am obliged to investigate. It is more than my job's worth not to do so. But unfortunately, at the moment, I am finding myself being increasingly scapegoated by the authorities for actually doing my job. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about a phenomenon in the UK, which is basically people in the elite, people in positions of relative power, moaning because the police are doing their job, which unfortunately involves enforcing the Public Order Act of 1986 with reference to what has become known as hate speech, and recording non-crime hate incidents in the wake of the McPherson report on the murder of Stephen Lawrence. As far as I can see, this is a sign of a society that is declining in IQ and is high in narcissism, which the legislation wasn't designed to cater for. And so unable to deal with what's happening, these people are scapegoating the police, but the police are doing their job. Before I do that, though, I'd like to emphasise, could you possibly subscribe? Could you please subscribe here on YouTube, and could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where if you have all the most based stuff, all the spiciest stuff I dare put on YouTube, in-person interviews and vlogs and videos and transcripts and all kinds of fascinating stuff. And if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. And also remember that I live stream Mondays at 7 p.m. UK time. But most importantly, please subscribe, please leave a comment, please hit the bell, all that stuff, because it really helps if you do that. Okay, back to the video. So what's going on? A journalist, I think she's a reasonably, you know, pretty good journalist, called Alison Pearson, has been in the news of late because Essex police have come to her door. They came to her door on Remembrance Sunday to quiz her about a tweet that she put up over a year ago, which someone alleged incited racial hatred. Now, I don't know what this tweet was. She's since taken it down. And under the Kafkaesque rules of the game, they were not able to tell her who the complainant was or indeed what the precise tweet was. But they invited her to the police station to talk about it. The consequence of this has been a number of people in the public eye, a number of members, as it were, of the conservative elite coming forward and saying how terrible this is. And particularly blaming the chief commissioner, the elected commissioner of Essex Police. And this commissioner, one Roger Hirsch, has stated quite reasonably that under the law, his force is obliged to investigate all crimes. His force is obliged to prioritise the investigation of crimes according to the seriousness of the crime. The seriousness of the crime is implied by the sentence that can be handed down for that crime. And the sentence for the crime of inciting racial hatred can be up to 7 years, which is more than the sentence for things like burglary. And thus, he argues that he is doing his job by investigating this. He is doing what he is statutorily obliged to do. And he also noted that it's taken a year for them to get around to doing this, with the implication going to her door, with the implication that he doesn't personally regard it as very important. And he personally also, by the way, thinks that the recording of non-crime hate incidents, this is when somebody alleges that you've said something hateful, but it's not a crime, but nevertheless, the police are obliged to record it and keep it in a database. And he personally thinks it's a bad idea. Now, for saying these things, he has been condemned by various conservative media types and right-wing politicians as being out of touch, as being unreasonable, that he's just doing his job. What is unreasonable or what doesn't work is the nature of the laws. And so I find this reaction extraordinary. And indicative, it's indicative, as far as I'm concerned, of two things: of declining IQ and of rising narcissism. So let's start with declining IQ. What do low IQ people do? When bad things happen to low IQ people, they can't understand why they've happened. They find it difficult to unpick the complex web of reasons why they have happened. They will do things like over-detect patterns or under-detect patterns. They are not good at solving problems. And they will look for simple explanations. Being low IQ is also associated with paranoia, with low trust. Because if you are low IQ, you are more likely to be conned. So it makes sense for you to trust nobody. Now, this all militates in favour of scapegoating. Rather than try and find out exactly what has gone on, you scapegoat. You find someone to blame and you blame them. And this, it seems to me, is what has happened with Roger Hirsch and with the police more broadly. There are various complex reasons why it has got to a point where they have record non-crime hate incidents and why they are obliged to come to the door of Alison Pearson and tell her they'd like to interview her about a tweet that she put up a year ago about which there has been a complaint, which is that it may incite racial hatred. But no, let's just blame the chief of police for doing his job. It's a sign of a society of declining IQ. It's also, I think, a sign of a society of rising narcissism. Narcissism is the belief that you're important, the belief that you're special, the belief that you're entitled, the belief that you're worth something, the belief that you, in essence, that you really, really matter. It is the psychology, to a certain extent, of the spoiled child, who has never had boundaries, who has never been told no, who has never not got what he wanted, who has never had to get into a situation where they have had to prepare themselves for serious stressors, where they've had to come up with coping mechanisms for bad things happening to them. And so when bad things do happen to them, they behave like a spoiled child and they panic and they scream and they jump about and they get terribly upset because they're so important. How dare bad things happen to them? Now, if we look at this, the Public Order Act of 1986 was set up in a society with significantly higher IQ, possibly a higher IQ of maybe 4 points than is the case today. And it was set up in a society that was far less narcissistic. People were not brought up to be ultra-contented individuals to think about themselves. The generations in charge of the country had been brought up to be group-oriented and to shut up and to do as they were told, basically, and to feel that they're not worth very much. So that legislation, which was bad legislation in a way, and which was vague, and which was brought in to sort of calm down the degree to which it was perceived that certain people on the far right could stir up racial hatred and stir up riots. And there have been some race riots and race killings and whatever around about this period. That legislation was brought in, as they saw, I'm not saying it's right to bring it in, but it was brought in to deal with that problem. And it was vague. But it didn't matter that it was vague. Because back then, people weren't easily offended. Back then, the left and the right were less polarised. Back then, political relations were far more reasonable. Back then, there was less hatred between left and right. Move forward, and it's suddenly quite bad legislation. It's bad legislation because it means that it's so vague that the slightest thing can be interpreted as hate speech. and the left and the right, we're no longer a united society. The left and the right despise each other so much, and particularly the left despise the right, because they're neurotic and they're very, very narcissistic. And they, you know, project all their evil feet, all their internal evil.
Are you ready for the future of the West?